What's up, everybody? It's Brokenness Faith Podcast, Mark, Noah.
That's right.
Thank you guys for listening, all 18 of you, whatever it is, 38, 44, whatever. Thank you guys for listening. We're still in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 42.
Yeah.
We're just going to get into it right now. This is something we've been going through for a while, on and off, and hopefully you really like what we got going on. We're going to get straight into it this time, Noah, if you got the verses there. We're doing 38 to 42.
That's right. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from them the one who wants to borrow from you. You want to start?
Sure. So, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's actually a direct Mosaic law in Exodus 21.
Yep.
But the religious leaders, over time, they kind of took it out of its meaning. They didn't use it for whatever, they didn't use it for its intended purpose, and they took it out of context.
Right.
It's supposed to be a principle limiting retribution for the civil government, and they put it in the wrong sphere as an obligation in personal relationships. You know, an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. So basically they're saying like vengeance type of thing.
Yeah.
And that's not what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be vengeance. And literally he goes on to say right after, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Jesus presents the fullness of what it really means of an eye for an eye law, and how its idea of limiting revenge extends into the principle of accepting certain evils against oneself. Here's a good quote I like. When a person insults us, in a sense slaps you on the right cheek, we want to give them back what they gave to us, plus more. Jesus said we should patiently bear such insults and offenses, and not resist an evil person who insults us this way. Instead, we trust God to defend us. There is ancient Jewish writings that say that striking someone with the back of hand was a severe insult, was punishable by a heavy fine. So, I mean, even if you go back to some, like, even just Jewish law, the symbolism of even a law they had, it was like a deep insult to give someone a backhand. So, I mean, now I'm going to give everyone a backhand just because I heard that. You know, and then here's the one key, though, that we have. It's just a side point that I wanted to bring up really quick when it says, do not resist an evil person. Jesus isn't saying, hey, every time, just don't resist evil. You know, he demonstrated throughout his entire life that evil should be resisted. Right. Such as when he turned the tables in the temple. But it's kind of like, you know, what hill do we want to die on? And is it worth dying for? There are many arguments in my life I've gotten into over certain things we do in the church, specifically our church. And there are times where I have to remind myself, and I usually remind myself too late, this isn't the hill I should die on. I might disagree with it. I might think it's silly. There are things coming up that certain things that I just personally, like, I just don't think it's a good idea, but it's not a hill I'm willing to die on, and it shouldn't be, you know. And if we are truly Christian, like a true Christian, then we have learned that no resent, no insult, you know, none of that is gonna make us want to fight back.
Right.
You know. When we think how Jesus himself was insulted and spoken against, you know, he was a glutton, a drunk, an illegitimate child, a blasphemer, a madman, and so on. We see how he lived this principle himself. He was the one who lived this principle the right way, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. You know, Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other side. And so on. He lived this out. He knew when it was time to fight against evil. And he knew when it wasn't the right hill to die on. And legitimately knew what hill, the right hill was for him to die on the cross. But symbolically, every day and every story we see from Jesus, we get a clear example of when it was acceptable to stand up and when it wasn't worth fighting for because it defeated the purpose of his mission. Right. And you see stories in the Bible of even the disciples. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you? What was this about? And he had to claim them, like, almost in a sense it wasn't worth it. Or this would defeat my mission if I gave in to this or that. You know, and so we have to really come to grips with our life. Like, hey, I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek the Lord daily. Because there are going to be times where I'm going to want to fight back. And is this the time to fight back? And you might say, well, it's never okay to do eye for an eye. I'm not necessarily talking like that, but how many times someone says something and we want to say something back? You know, like, yeah, we shouldn't do that. But then there are times we need to stand up when people are abusing the church or people abusing their church power. When you see things like Hillsong and their head pastor and the whole thing, you know, getting in trouble with these scandals and sexual allegations. And then also before that, covering up what his dad did, you know, with kids and said he didn't know and blah, blah, blah. And he stepped down, even though he said he's going to plead not guilty. He said he's going to step down. You can look into it. Brian Houston, Hillsong Church, and scandal. I mean, there's a time for me where I want to stand up and say, hey, look, I don't stand by what they do. I don't stand by what some Christians do. And I'm gonna fight and say, look, that's not what true Christians are. And from what I read, people say, well, you're saying that guy, Brian Houston, one of the biggest figures in Christianity, you're saying he's not a Christian? I'm like, I'm saying he's not a true Christian. If all these things are true, how can you live your life throughout the years, hide stuff that parts of your family did, hide sexual allegations against yourself that you have proven to have done, apparently, with all these things coming out, to the point where you've stepped down from this global ministry? How can I call you a true Christian when you've been a phony this whole time? So there is a time to stand up, and there is a time to fight against evil. But most of the time, we pick the wrong time to do that. And that's why a lot of the world hates Christianity.
Right. Yeah. And you kind of mentioned it at the start that originally this phrase, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, it is in the Old Testament. And like you said, it refers to more legal situations, right? You know, it was a command given to the judges of the time. And, you know, it was twisted as something personal. And so I think it's, you know, in that sense, it still applies, right? Jesus even said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount that he's not here to do away with the law or the prophets, right? So from a legal standpoint, yeah, you know, we still have equal retribution, right? You take something from somebody, you pay back that amount, whatever, right? But we're talking about a personal relationships, right? Where, you know, Jesus is focusing in on how we interact with other people, right? And that's where all of a sudden this idea of taking the justice into our own hands or doing what we feel is a just return to what that person did us, suddenly we start to run into some of these problems. But two things stand out to me is that, one, Jesus is referring to very personal situations, right? He gives personal examples, right? And I think, yes, in a large sense, we need to fight evil, whether it's on a national scale, you know, our society, evil things in our society, even in our church. But sometimes when it comes to these personal relationships, sometimes it's better to take that insult or you know, take the wrong, if you will, in that situation than it is to jeopardize that personal relationship or push that person away or whatever the situation is. But the other thing is that Jesus also seems to be specifically focusing on very small things, right? You know, an insult or a slap on the cheek, it really isn't that big of a deal, right? You know, it might hurt our pride, but we're not talking about, you know, massive societal issues or things like that. We're talking about very minor things in our lives, you know, even something like getting sued for your shirt, right? That could be a big legal process, but it's still a very minor thing, right? Mm-hmm. We're not talking about life or death. We're talking about your clothes, right? And I think the way I look at it, Jesus is saying these little things, even if it's evil, it's not worth creating conflict over. Mm-hmm. It's not worth dying on that hill, as you say, right? Like, just give them your shirt and your coat, right? Don't create a big issue where that doesn't need to, right? I think I shared it a couple episodes ago, but later on in the Gospels, when Jesus and Peter are going to the temple, and Peter says, well, we have to pay the tax to get into the temple. And Jesus says, well, technically, I don't have to pay the tax because I'm the Son of God, yada, yada, yada. But he says, even though I don't have to pay this tax, we're going to pay it anyways because I don't want to cause offense, mm-hmm. right? Jesus was willing to do something he had no business doing. He didn't have to do it. He was exempt. But he did it anyways because he didn't want to cause a fight. He didn't want to ruin what he was going to the temple to do. And I think sometimes we have to put our pride aside, right? Demonstrate some meekness, as we talked about at the beginning, and put our own concerns and desires for justice aside to say, me creating a fight out of this is not worth whatever I can gain, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to putting aside my pride to say, oh, I'll turn the other cheek. I won't go after this, right? Because ultimately, you're just going to make things worse, you know? There's that saying built off of this, an eye for an eye leaves the world blind. Yeah. It's that idea of if we constantly are going for what we deserve or what we think is right, it's only going to make things worse, right? I have some more to say, but I'll let you, if you have something.
Yeah, if anyone wants to sue you and take away, Mike says, your tunic, what does yours say?
I think, what is this?
I have the mature version.
Also, if anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt, hand over your coat.
Yeah, well, I didn't take away your tunic, let him have your cloak.
Oh, so, I think it's the same thing.
Under the law of Moses, if you go back and you do a history check, give you a little history lesson here.
I got some history too.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah. Exodus 22 and Deuteronomy 24, the outer cloak.
Right.
And what was cloak in your
coat?
Coat. Could not be taken from someone.
Right.
Jesus' disciples, if sued for their tunics, an inner garment like our suit, but worn next to the skin, far from seeking satisfaction, will gladly part with what they may legally keep. Kind of like what you're just talking about. Might not be that big of a deal. You know, it might just be something silly. But then, why do we fight it? You know, right. Just let it be. Like, I like this by Charles Spurgeon, this quote. Yet even in a country where justice can be had, we are not to resort to law for every personal wrong. Mm. We should rather endure to be put upon than be forever crying out, I'll bring an action. We shouldn't have to do any of that. You know, all these little wrongs. And then there are people who, like, I get it, there's this growing movement for, I was thinking about this just a touch earlier, there's this growing movement for, like, homeschool, right? And kids, and then there are parents who, just the public schools are teaching us all these bad things, blah, blah, blah. And I was reading this book about, you know, how to reach the LGBTQ plus community, like, a while back. And there's this thing I remember where these two pastors who are non-affirming in an affirming denomination, this lady came to them in their church, like, can I pass out these flyers, like, after service? Well, or at least put them, you know, on the counter right here. And just, you know, and then they're like, well, what is it? And she's like, it's this thing to get the GSA club, you know, canceled. You know, like, it shouldn't be in our schools. And it was Gay Straight Alliance. And, you know, look, LGBTQ plus lifestyle isn't what the Bible, you know, is for, right? It's, if you struggle with those thoughts, that's different. If you act on those thoughts, just like a heterosexual acts on his sexual fantasies and thoughts, it's bad. But these pastors said, no, we can't do that. And she's like, what do you mean? Are you for that, you know, like, that lifestyle? And I said, no, but you try to pick it, you try to get people to rally, and you get them to cancel that club. What's going to stop those people from going to the same school leaders and say, well, out of fairness, then, can we cancel the Christian club? You know, so is that a hill they want to die on?
Right.
No, it's really not. Why? Because that would be That would make you look bad. It's so small. You say, is that club probably bad? I mean, in high school, depending on the meeting and who's what teacher or what guest they have, you know, speaking, maybe. But is it something so bad and so big that we need to fight over this? People say, like, oh, our cable, like, there's just so many bad channels. We need to fight this. Or you could just not have cable.
Right.
You know, like, when I was running the youth group years ago, there was a girl who invited a friend who was vice president of the GSA club at their local high school. And then they started coming for, one person came, like, almost every week for years. Another person just came for maybe, I don't know, months, maybe close to a year. And they wanted to invite me to speak at their GSA club. And the timing didn't match up, but I thought about it. I'm like, I would do it. And he said, oh, you support GSA club? No, well, I want to share with them these things. And even this verse, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, people might have, you know, slapped you, beaten you up. Christians might have said these horrendous things, but that's not true Christianity.
Right.
You know, even my dad, he was given a chance. I think he did it. He was given a chance to speak at the local Republican Party headquarters for a meeting. Like, he just did the opening prayer, and I think he might have said a few words, but I know it was just all Bible. No, we need to be this, this, and that. And then I said, well, kind of try to catch him. I said, okay, I'm like, why would you do that? And I'm like, so would you do that for the Democrat? Like, if their little headquarters in the area asked you, and he's like, I would go over there and pray. And if they told me to share a 10-minute message, you know, because it's like, it's not, you might think that a certain party might be bad, but is it worth dying on picketing and fighting against them in these wars? We see these wars in Ukraine and stuff, but really, we're having wars here over ideology that's tearing apart Christians.
Right.
You know, you see Christians, conservative Christians, progressive Christians, going eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth and fighting with each other when that's exactly when Jesus didn't want us to do. When people aren't willing to give up some of their things to go above and beyond, to go that extra mile. You know, right here at the end of it, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And before that, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So we're supposed to go above and beyond, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to go above and beyond. And I like this. Positively, we are told to take command of evil in positions by making a deliberate choice to give more than we are required. Right. You know, at that time, Judah was under Roman military occupation. Under military law, any Roman soldier might command a Jew to carry his soldier's pack for 1 mile. But only 1 mile. What's up?
You're still in my history.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Well, and then, but only 1 mile. Jesus here says go beyond the 1 mile required by law and give another mile out of a free choice of love. This is how we transform an attempt to manipulate us into a free act of love.
Mm.
You know, I look at some of these things and you say there's evil going on in the world. Yeah. And there will be justice in time. But we are not the ones as personal, you know, solo, whatever. Just us as Christians, personal Christians. It's not our, you know, doing to bring about this judgment. That's God's doing. Or even the judge in the court of law in the U.S. or whatever country you're in. But if they piss you off or they get you mad, okay, well, don't fight back. You know, love on them, be there for them,
right,
and go the extra mile. My last thing is a story real quick of a guy who, I was just telling you about this a few times, where he had bad-mouthed me a bit and said he's done with Christianity, said it's a pagan religion, he was caught up in this cult, whatever, and all I did was, well, I'm here for you, need anything, if you ever change your mind, need a ride to church. He was going, at one point, he was going to a million different churches, but I said, if you're ever looking for a church, you decide to change your mind, I'll happily pick you up. I'll take you to our recovery meetings because you go sometimes. And then he said, no, I'm good, bro. Peace out. Don't talk to me. Christianity's manipulative. I'm not going to deal with you. You know, yeah, I'm not going to fight with you. And I just said, look, I'm not here to fight. And I left that. I said, I'm here for you. And if you ever need anything, just let me know. And a few weeks later, he hits me up. Tells me he He realized that he got caught up in this goofy stuff again for a second time. In this goofy religion that believes in this crazy stuff about the 12 tribes of Israel and who the true Jesus is. And what if I had fought back when he said Christianity is a cult religion and it's a pagan religion and you believe in a pagan God. If I fought back to that, I would have lost that battle to reach him. You know, I'm not saying, well, you're saying don't fight back when people say God's not real. No, I'm saying we love on those people and we pray for them. And then if God gives you a word to speak, then yeah, you speak it. But until then, pray for them, love on them, and continue praying, reading your Bible. And guess what? He came around. And when he did, when I picked him up for our recovery meeting, he was like, you know, why were you so nice to me this whole time? I was in this different mind frame. I said, because you wouldn't be in my car right now if I chewed you out, if I went back at you.
Yeah.
You tried to take my eye out, and if I would have tried to take your eye out too, it would have been just as bad. And if you would have wanted to come back, you would look at me and be like, well, I can't talk to him and try to come back because look at what he said to me. He's pissed at me, blah, blah, blah. So you can't do that. And that's why if you show love and you go the extra mile despite when they yell at you, despite when they piss you off, then guess what? They will remember that because everyone else will fight back. But when you don't, they remember that. And that's a big deal.
Yeah. And there's a couple things I want to say, so I'm going to try not to forget anything.
Okay, and do it quick because I'm trying to go to the gas station before church.
Oh, good luck. The first thing is, kind of speaking to what you just said, is what is our end goal, right? If our end goal is to try to ultimately save the people around us, right, or get them to believe, then sometimes that resistance is not going to be the answer, right? And when we even when we look at the moments when Jesus did become angry, right, like for example in the temple, it served a bigger goal, right? It wasn't just a moment of reactionary anger. It wasn't a moment of, you know, self-serving pride. There was a greater purpose to that, right? And when we look at ourselves, say, if somebody insults me, right, and I can turn the other cheek or throw an insult back, what is the end goal going to be, right? Is it to serve my own pride and desire to defend myself, mm-hmm. or is it to love that person, to get that person.
What's going to further the gospel?
Right. That's what I'm trying to say, is what's going to further the gospel, right? And you look at these four examples Jesus gives, right? Somebody insults you, you turn the cheek, right? That's going to stick with them. Next time they're going to think, man, that person easily could have turned around and insulted me back. They could have fought back, but they chose not to, right? Next time they're going to think, wow, that person is mild-mannered, they're loving, they're kind. That's going to stick with them. Right, somebody sues you, right, out of a personal vendetta, and you say, not only am I not going to try to fight you on this, I'm going to give you maybe even a little bit extra than what you're trying to take from me, willingly give it up to you. That person can think, wow, that, you know, I came after them, you know, with personal greed, and they, you know, didn't resist, right? You go that extra mile, and then whatever the case is, you know, somebody asks something from you, you give them what they're asking without resistance, and then some, right, mm-hmm. from charity, all of this will stick with these people and will further that gospel. Whereas if we take the selfish, prideful route of, you know, I have to get my justice, right, or I have to defend myself, or I have to, mm-hmm. you know, make sure I come out of this, you know, better than I did before, whatever the case is, it's just going to push those people, like you said with this person, right? If you try to defend yourself, right, take an eye for an eye, you would have pushed that person away. And yeah. they would not be probably ever coming back to the church, right? And so we have to be able to look at it in a bigger picture of what is ultimately going to serve the gospel the best. Like I said with Jesus saying, we'll pay the temple tax because it's more important that I'm in that temple doing what I need to do than standing on the principle that I don't have to pay the tax, yeah. right? You know, or the other cases where he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, right? Not because Jesus supports the tax, but because he knows it's better for us to submit to the government in that place than it is to fight it or whatever, become, you know, political outlaws on the run, whatever the case is, right? The ultimate goal is to further the gospel. And Jesus is looking at these minor things, like none of this serves the gospel to fight these things, right? Maybe on a legal standpoint, sure, an eye for an eye could be a good legal system, but on a personal level, it's not doing anybody any good,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's what he's trying to get at. But specifically, that idea of the going the extra mile, you obviously spoiled the history for me. But
there you go. I'm a history guy. I beat you to it.
But when I was reading some commentaries, I had one person like, imagine you're that Roman soldier.
Shoulder.
You're a shoulder in Rome. No, yeah. you're a Roman soldier, right? And for decades, you were stationed in Judea, and you just went up to random Jewish people and just said, hey, carry my stuff a mile, right? Because that was the law. They could do that, and they couldn't. If they resisted, they would be whipped or whatever, right? And for decades, that's just how it was. And one day you come across somebody and you say, hey, you carry my bag a mile. And they say, all right, sure. They get to the end of the mile. It's like, all right, you're done. You can go home. It's like, oh, I'll go an extra mile. You know, imagine how that would affect you as a Roman soldier for decades. And somebody's like, oh, I'll go an extra mile.
Yeah.
It's like that would have such a huge impact on them, right? They would want to know, why is this person going an extra mile when so many people before were angry, resentful, they were sluggish, they took their time, they were, they would say curses as they walked away, right? Like, you can imagine these soldiers probably got a lot of hate from the Jewish people. And to have somebody not only go that extra mile, but even do so happily, joyfully, saying, like, I will gladly do this because I'm serving God in doing so, right? This is what Jesus commanded me to do. I find joy in following God's commands, so therefore I have joy in doing this, right? That's going to impact that soldier. And it's the same today when we go those extra miles, not just to not fight back, but say, not only am I not going to fight back, but I'm going to love you as well, right? And the next portion of the sermon is loving your enemy, so this does feed into that, which we'll talk about probably in 2 weeks. But there is that idea of at the core, really, it's not about being meek or passive or whatever. It's about loving people. I think that's really the core, is that, if we love people, we're going to want to do whatever is going to get them saved and whatever is going to help them, right? We're not thinking necessarily about ourselves, right? We're not thinking about our nice coats or, the exhaustion of going that extra mile or, whatever the case is. We're thinking about what's going to be best for them.
Mm-hmm.
The one last thing I want to say is that this is not a call to be completely passive, right? This doesn't mean you just sit back and let people walk over you or let people abuse you or...
Well, you're libertarian, so that's pretty much true for you.
Right. But, we still obviously, defend ourselves if somebody's attacking you or if things like that, right? This isn't a complete call to passivity. This is specifically in, personal attacks or people trying to take advantage of you or things like that. And so I do think that's an important distinction. But again, it's ultimately about what's going to best serve the gospel. And I don't think, an eye for an eye, personal sense of what I deserve, will ever truly serve the gospel, right? It's about what best serves people around me, what can I do for them, and what's going to leave an impact on them, right? What's going to make them think, man, this guy's different because he went above and beyond what I asked him, or when I hurt them, they didn't fight back. They didn't hurt me back. They took it in stride and they were just as happy and kept going, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to affect people,
Yeah, and it's like, when it comes down to even like things like, when I think of turn the other cheek, I almost think of like forgiveness, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know he doesn't say forgiveness specifically in this passage, but like when you go in the extra mile, it's like, hey, I'm gonna take what you want. I'm gonna give you even more because I want to prove to you, what I believe is legitimate. And how many people are going to take time to do that?
Right.
They're not. Look at the guy who did the mass shooting in the AME church, the white guy who shot up the place in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, predominantly an African-American church, although it's open to everybody. And this white guy came in, went to a Bible study or two, whatever. And then one day he comes in, pulls out a gun of some kind, starts shooting at people. Eventually, he goes to trial, of course, and he's in this, like, cell room, shackled, and the judge is there in the courtroom, and they have the people, some of the families of the people who died, and some of the people who were there that day, some of which were both, And one lady said, "We welcomed you. We loved on you. We are happy as a new person that you are coming." And you think she's now going to turn it into, "But how could you do what you did? Are you kidding me?"
Right.
No, she went on to say, "I hope you get the help you need, and I forgive you." And then she said something to the effect of, "And knowing the people at my church that were there, I can say clearly, we forgive you." And that's a pretty big deal when someone shoots up your friends and your family, and you're the lucky one to still be alive, and you're in the courtroom. Technically not face-to-face because he's in another room on a video, but you're face-to-face with the guy pretty much. And you're telling that guy, "I forgive you." You know, the guy who shot up your church, God's temple, the guy who shot at some people, and some went to the hospital, some died. The sickening things this guy did. And you would think of all the petty hills that Christians are willing to die on, and they get it wrong. You think, "But this hill for sure, we need to die on this hill. You need to go to, you're going to go to hell," and this and that. No, they said, "I forgive you." The guy, I don't know what his sentence was, and even if it was the death penalty, in our country, it takes 1 million years and appeals, and they sit in death
row. Might as well serve life at that point.
Yeah, with our taxpaying dollars. You know, so, you know, but the fact that he could come to Christ maybe still. You know, because, you know, that would have a profound effect on my... Now, granted, if there's a mental illness in his head, you know, that's a whole nother conversation of can they be capable of accepting Christ. You know, I'm not here to say yes or no, but he has to be not expecting that response. Even from a Christian, you have to be expecting them to say something like, "I hope you get what you deserve." They probably would expect an outcome that was no different than someone who didn't go to church. You know, and yet they said the opposite. They said, "I forgive you. We forgive you." That to me is like saying, "Hey, you did what you did. Now I'm going to turn the other cheek." Right. And on this cheek, though, now that I know what you're going to do, I'm going to extend forgiveness. You know, now granted, he got punished by the state of the law, right? He got whatever the law, you know, dictates, and whatever the peers and the people, you know, our fellow man has decided, you know, guilty, not guilty, which obviously he was guilty. Right. And the sentencing of all that, that's justice. Jesus does justice, but he's also, people have voted in other people to be a judge, to be this, to be that. And so those are the people who can deem judgment. Those are the people who can do this and that. And he still got what he deserved. But yet the people forgave him. And it's like that with us. Like, they're going to get what they deserve on Judgment Day. We all will. But until that day, let's offer forgiveness. Until that day, let's turn the other cheek. Until that day, let's go the extra mile. Because who knows, maybe on Judgment Day for them, they will be on the right side of judgment. Because after all those times of going above and beyond for them, they finally at some point accepted Christ. Whether we see it or we never see them again, and down the line they accept Christ, and we were one of the people that was aiding in them accepting Christ.
Right.
And so we need to remember, hey, we're not the ones who are called to this judgment. There's a time to judge, and that's, you know, within the church, a different context. But when it comes to these things of turning the other cheek, 99 times out of 100, it's the wrong hill to die on. And Jesus showed us when it was the right hill to die on. The other times we offer forgiveness, we offer love, hope, and peace. And the times he did, you know, in a sense, die on that hill, is when he fought against church leaders who were corrupt.
Yeah.
It's when he fought about things pertaining to the temple that were of serious spiritual matters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our day and age, we say, "But there's things in the church I don't like." Yeah, and it's like how the lyrics are presented on the projector screen, when in reality, they never had any of that back in church day.
Right.
He got to the heart of real matters, not stupid technology preferences you have in your church. I'm not saying that's me. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Yeah, it could be you.
So that's my closing thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I guess the last thing I want to say is that a lot of this comes from being in a place of good spiritual health, I guess I could say, right? Being in control of our emotions, having that internal peace and joy that comes only from relationship with Jesus, right? Because if we're unhinged emotionally, if we're not in good standing with God, if we're not in good spiritual health, right? Or another way to say it, if we're not doing the things that Jesus had already talked about previously in the Sermon on the Mount, this is going to be pretty hard, right? So again, I have to say it, all of this builds on each other, right? It's hard to be this type of person that Jesus is talking about if we're not practicing the Beatitudes, you know, if we're not, you know, taking care of our spiritual health by not hating people, right? Like we talked about before, you know, if you have hatred in your heart, not only are you committing murder, but it's going to be pretty hard to turn the other cheek, right? If you have that hatred, if you have that discontent towards people already, then it's going to be hard to do these things. So my closing thought is, as always, this stuff builds, this stuff is connected. You can't just take one part of the Sermon on the Mount without the rest. So go back. I mean, I guess you could listen to our previous episodes, but go back, read the rest of the chapter, study it, you know, because all of this is interconnected, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, all right. This is Broken Faith Podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you guys again. We're on a bazillion episodes, and every episode I'm like,
we're getting close to 90.
We're getting close to 90, and I want to call it like 20 episodes ago. Then we get closer to 100. I'm like, at least 100, then I'll reevaluate what things I'm doing in my life.
There you go.
This is a good thing to do. But thank you guys for listening. This is Broken Faith Podcast.
Peace. Deuces.